Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul begins a new series on the New Testament book of Philemon.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and live, come and grow. Come and see, come and live, come and grow.
Big things often come in small packages. The book we are about to study is one of those. I told a friend one time that I was going to preach through the book of Philemon. He said, "That's great. Philemon. Short book. I've read it. What's it about?" I laughed as I thought, this guy has read this book and has no idea what it's about. I wonder how many other people would respond that way if someone asked them, "What is the book of Philemon about?" It is a short book, and many of us have probably read it. Why don't we remember it? And why is it you rarely ever hear a sermon on this book? So imagine someone comes to you saying they want you to tell them about a practical book in the Bible that addresses the following topics: practical issues of forgiveness, how to put love into action, issues of maturity and growth in the Christian life, how to face a weakness in my life and grow through it, learning how to face sin and deal with the responsibility and consequences of it, learning how to forget the past and establish a new relationship with a brother or sister in the body of Christ whom you have offended, learning how to handle a difficult situation with tact and diplomacy, appealing to another to do the right thing before God, even though the world offers another option, and helping us understand just who we are in Jesus Christ. Where can you find a book that addresses all of those things, and especially one that does it in just 25 verses? That's the book of Philemon. It is amazing how much God can pack into such a small book. Philemon has been described as a model of Christian courtesy, a manifestation of Christian love, a monument of Christian conversion. Yet Philemon's not filled with doctrinal truths we find in so many other books of the New Testament. It is, however, full of practical applications from beginning to end. All of them center in one way or another around this issue of biblical forgiveness. So let's take a look today at the setting. Let's do a little introduction to this wonderful book, Philemon. The author, we know for sure, is Paul. There's often questions about authorship of many books of the Bible, but very few have ever questioned that the Apostle Paul is the author. In verse 1, he says, "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus." In verse 9, he says, "Paul, the aged." In verse 19, he says, "I, Paul." So three times in 25 verses, he says it's Paul. And this falls into the category of one of Paul's four prison epistles. I heard a little kid one time that when he heard the word epistle, he thought those were the wives of the apostles. No, that's not it. The word epistle is just a word we use that means a letter. So these are letters written by apostles, either to churches or to individuals, people that they wanted to give divine, inspired revelation about the issues of their day. These are inspired letters, and they were not only relevant in that day, they are just as relevant today as they were then. So Paul's prison epistles include Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. These were written around 61 to 62 AD in Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Now, when you carefully compare this epistle with the one of the Colossians, it's clear they were both written at the same time and from the same place. Like Colossians, the epistle to Philemon was written while Paul was in chains. It says that in Philemon 1, 10, 13, 23, and Colossians 4, 18. It also tells us that Timothy joined Paul in both epistles. Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke also joined in the salutations of both. So clearly, Paul writes both of these books at the same time, from the same place, surrounded by the same people. Now, when was it that Paul went into prison? Well, if you go back to Acts chapter 23, Paul spoke to the Jews in Jerusalem about Jesus. They got upset with him and they wanted to kill him, but instead he was imprisoned. He was sent to Caesarea. He spent a few years there locked up and then ultimately was sent to Rome. Paul was ultimately released from prison. Philemon 22 hints to that. And the reason, at least from the human side, was because of the prayers of the people. Philemon verse 22 says, "At the same time also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you." Isn't that glorious? Philippians 1, he said something similar, writing from the same jail at the same time. He says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Isn't that amazing to think about? Through a combination of God's absolute sovereignty and the prayers of believers, Paul was released from prison. Think about this. These believers in the city of Colossae are 1,300 miles away from Rome, yet they played a vital role in Paul being released from prison through their prayers. Paul went on to have a ministry for many more years, 4 or 5 years at least, until he was arrested again and ultimately killed. And the human side of it was the prayers of people on his behalf. Now listen, my friends, you may not go to the mission field yourself, but you can have a huge part in what God is doing all over the world from your prayer closet. Pray for your missionaries, pray for pastors, pray for evangelists, pray for church planters, and God will use you along with them to impact the world for Christ. Are you one of those people? Do you pray fervently and constantly for God to do mighty things that can only be explained by the fact that God did it? Do your missionaries from your church have confidence that you are praying for them? Do you keep track of specific prayers so you can give God praise when He answers? Oh, so often God answers our prayers and we don't stop to give Him thanks for what He's done, often because we haven't even written down the request that we asked. Let's get back to the book of Philemon. It's the only one of the four prison epistles that was written specifically to an individual. And although it was implied that it should be shared with others, specific individuals, and a whole church, it was really written primarily to a man named Philemon. What kind of guy is Philemon that Paul could write him a letter and then ask him to share these very personal requests with everybody else, with his wife, his son, his church, and down through the ages, you and me? Well, what's the point of this book? Well, the primary focus we see in verse 10, it was written to Philemon concerning his slave, a man named Onesimus. Now, there's a fascinating side note here. Onesimus, the subject of this epistle to Philemon, was one of the messengers by whom the epistle to the Colossians was sent to the church at Colossae, which, by the way, is where Philemon is located himself. In Colossians 4, 7 and 9, it says, "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus," listen to this description, "our faithful and beloved brother who is one of your number." Onesimus helps deliver both the letter to the Colossian church and the letter to Philemon, who's involved in the Colossian church. Now, there were potential severe consequences for Onesimus. If he delivers these letters, things could happen to him. What things? Well, Onesimus was Philemon's slave, and it appears from the text that he stole something from his master and then ran away 1,300 miles to Rome. Now, in that day, a slave that did this could be beaten severely or even killed for that offense. At the very least, if he were caught, he would be branded with a red hot iron on the forehead with a letter stating that he was a fugitive or a runaway. And at the very worst, he could be crucified. So imagine you're Onesimus And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to take these letters back to the place where you stole from your master and ran away. What kind of commitment is that? What kind of integrity, what kind of repentance is true of Onesimus that he willingly carries a letter back? Now, some have asked the question, why doesn't Paul attack the issue of slavery? Paul's point here was not to overthrow social institutions of the day, but to get the gospel out. He wanted the gospel out to unsaved. He wanted the gospel lived out by the saved. And if people became true followers of Jesus Christ, they would realize that they and the slaves were equals before God. They were brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and should treat each other accordingly. Galatians 3, Ephesians 6, Colossians 4, 1 Timothy 6 all address this. This reality that we are one in Christ. We may have different social standings, but we have the same standing before the Savior and should treat each other with honor and dignity. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we should not threaten one another, Ephesians 6:9 says. We should grant to our slaves justice and fairness, Colossians 4 says, etc. We treat each other with honor and respect. Also at that time, slaves were often treated better than free men. It's not like the kind of slavery we had in American history, which was a blight on our nation. This was a different form of employment. And oftentimes, people that were doctors, lawyers, teachers, etc., all had a slave status, but they were taken care of. In fact, some have estimated as many as one-third of the Roman Empire were slaves around this time. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge, the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we are studying the book of Philemon. So in this book, the whole issue is Onesimus steals from his master, runs away, gets lost in the big city of Rome. And Onesimus probably thought he was going to be able to escape, that no one would find him in Rome. But guess what? God found Onesimus in Rome. Through a series of providential acts of God that we're not privy to the details, God brought Onesimus and Paul together so that Onesimus could come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, verse 10 and verse 16. Some conjecture that Onesimus was running away and somehow bumped into Epaphroditus, who went to Rome to minister to Paul. The theory is that Epaphroditus encouraged him to talk to Paul, who ultimately led him to faith in Christ. God's providence is all over this book, just like it's all over your life and mine. Onesimus tells Paul about his background, how he ran away from Colossae. Paul knew people there and might have asked for some names. Onesimus tells Paul that his owner's name was Philemon, and Paul knew Philemon. It's possible that Paul had led Philemon to faith in Christ, because in Philemon verse 19, he tells Philemon, "You owe to me even your own self." So Paul is going to use that. Philemon, I led you to faith in Christ. I was the human messenger that gave you eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You owe me, my friend. So here, out of all the people in the world Onesimus could bump into, he bumps into Paul, a man who had a very intimate personal relationship and friendship with the master he ran away from. Is that a coincidence? I say not. Are there any coincidences in your life about how God brought things together for you to come to saving faith? And if you haven't come to saving faith yet, is it a coincidence you're listening to this radio program right now? A program that's going to challenge you to forgive or be forgiven and to go and reconcile with others whom you have offended or who have offended you? See, God is calling us to be like Him. God forgives. God offers forgiveness to you. God offers reconciliation to you. God wants you to be made right with Him forever, and He even paid the price in full. And if you've received that kind of grace and forgiveness, He wants you to bestow it on others as well. So now Paul helps Onesimus understand you've got to go back and make things right. He sends him back with Tychicus because if he did not go back with him, he could have been caught by bounty hunters and taken captive. So Onesimus helps Tychicus deliver this letter to his former master. Now, the name Onesimus is interesting. The word means useful. And it becomes a play on words in verses 10 and 11, where Paul talks about this man, Onesimus, who was a useless man, to his master before, but by God's transforming grace became useful. In fact, Colossians 4:9, he calls him a faithful and beloved brother. In fact, he was so useful, according to verse 13 and 14 of Philemon, Paul wanted him back. He ministered to Paul in a profound way. Onesimus is an unbelievable example for us today of repentance. A former slave now set free to be a slave of righteousness. A former thief who now chooses to give. A former runaway now willing to return and accept the consequences. A former enemy of God now a partner in the gospel. This sounds like Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 to me. He's the embodiment of what Paul taught about putting off old ways and putting on new righteous ways because you are new in Christ. As a result of this, Onesimus became useful to Jesus Christ and to Paul and to others, so Paul refers to him as his child. Let me ask you something. Do you realize how useful you could be to the work of God? If God can take a person like Onesimus with his background, baggage, and human limitations and make him useful to the Apostle Paul, then God can surely take you and make you useful to his work. Do you believe that? No matter what you've done in the past, no matter how sinful you've been, no matter how many people you've offended, do you believe that God is in the business of miraculously changing lives? He delights in transforming sinners into saints and then using them to accomplish things that will last forever. So have you repented like Onesimus? See, true believers repent. It's not just something we do initially to become a Christian. It's something we do daily, moment by moment. True believers have been transferred from darkness to light, from death to life, from slaves of sin to slaves of righteousness. And we can do this because we are forgiven and made new. Since we have been forgiven, we also grant forgiveness. Verses 8 and 9 are the key verses to the whole book. There Paul writes this, "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus." Paul says this is an appeal. I could order you to do this, Philemon, but I'm not going to. I'm going to appeal to you to do the right thing and forgive this man, and I want you to do it out of love. Do you realize that the word forgive doesn't even appear in the entire book of Philemon, yet the book is all about it? We are never more like God, someone said, than when we forgive. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." He also said that we're supposed to forgive the way God forgives us, Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. And he says that if you don't forgive that way, then God doesn't forgive you. Wow, God wants us to be transformed and become like him and be agents of grace, mercy, kindness, and forgiveness to those who have offended us. Do you realize that before salvation, we really couldn't do that? We couldn't do it God's way, but now we can. So Philemon's a practical book on forgiveness, a practical book on love and action. A slave has stolen from you and cannot repay you. Put love into action. Love him. Meet his needs. Bring him in. Welcome into the fold. Have him become a vital part of the local church. Use this dear brother, because God has eternally changed him from the inside out. Philemon is a practical book on facing weaknesses and growing to maturity through them. How about you? Are there some areas of your life right now where you're weak? Through this book, I hope you're encouraged to grow stronger, grow to maturity, press on. It's also a practical book on facing sin and dealing with the responsibility and the consequences. It's no fun at times to have to deal with the consequences of our sin. A lot of people would rather hide. They'd rather not have to deal with it. They would rather pretend like it didn't happen. But God wants us to be a people who confess our sins, who go reconcile with others and make things right. You say, that may cost me severely. God would rather you be a person willing to endure the consequences for what's right than try to hide and ignore what you've done and the hurt it has caused others. Philemon is a practical book that wants us to put the past behind us and move forward with new relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. Certainly you've offended others, and certainly others have offended you, and maybe there's a wake of broken relationships behind. This book's going to challenge you. Go make them right. You initiate it. You go make it happen. Prayerfully go before God and then humbly go before your brother or sister and make things right. It's a book that's practical about how to learn how to handle a difficult situation with tact and diplomacy. We'll see this next week. There are so many things that Paul does that are so tactful in the way he approaches this delicate situation. It's a practical book on appealing to a brother to do what is right in the eyes of God, even though the world offers the opportunity for retribution. Oh, the world will tell you to be bitter and angry and resentful, to hold a grudge, to get a pound of flesh, to go make people pay for the things they've done to you. And this is a book that's going to encourage you to let it go. Release it. Cast it far away from you. Do like God does. Cast that other person's sin as far as east is from the west. Throw it in the depths of the sea and don't go fishing for it ever again. You know, that's not the way a lot of people are, and that's certainly not the way even a lot of Christians are. Paul had to write to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 6 because they were actually taking each other to court in lawsuits. And Paul there says, "Why wouldn't you rather be wronged than drag the name of Christ through the mud in public courts of law?" Philemon is a practical book that helps us understand who we are in Jesus Christ. Oh, reflect on that, about who you are now. You're not what you used to be. You're no longer an old sinner. You're a saint. You're no longer an alien of God. You are a beloved child. You are a friend. You are adopted. You are a joint heir. There's so many things about who you are in Christ that this book wants to encourage you by. And then finally, you're going to be reading a practical book on the importance of intercessory prayer. Oh, my friends, it's so important to pray earnestly. On behalf of others, the people that Paul wrote to, Philemon, the people in his church, prayed fervently, and God did mighty things. God can do the same thing through you and your church. Philemon, what's it about? It's an appeal to forgive. It's biblical forgiveness in living color. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." What has been your practice of forgiveness? What's been your practice of dealing with the past? Forgetting what lies behind. Do you often hold grudges toward others? What has your commitment been to growing in love and mercy? Are you committed to let God challenge you in a weak area and produce a greater maturity? Are you committed to face sin and deal with responsibility and consequences? Has your commitment been to forget the past and establish a new relationship with others in Christ? Are you committed to being tactful and helping others deal with difficult issues? Are you committed to appeal to others to do the right thing before God, even though the world offers another option? Are you committed to understand who you are in Jesus Christ? And will you commit to study and apply these truths with me over the next few weeks so they can be true of you? I believe this is a problem and a struggle for all of us, and I'd like to pray for you and for myself right now. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for how you have been so gracious and kind and forgiving toward us. Please help us, Lord, to be like you. Empower us by the indwelling Spirit to be those that are quick to forgive and quick to reconcile. Lord, cause us to learn from the study of this great book how we could be more like you and we might enhance unity in our churches. Lord, we want to practice this. We want to go be reconciled to others, and allow joyfully others to be reconciled to us. So do this work in us, we ask. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Just a taste of the small yet powerful book of Philemon. If you struggle with being forgiven and or forgiving others, please contact our church where biblical counselors can help you. Our church phone number is 818-776-1500. If you don't have a church home, please join us. Our Sunday worship service is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. To learn more about our church, listen to sermons, or give to support this radio ministry, please go to our website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. And please join us next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA as we continue our study of Philemon.